Well, I thought we'd just do a little review, then we'd pick up where we left off with Jane, and we'll dive into our practice. What we've been doing is, I thought, really important. The dialogue is beginning to show integration, where he is turning the tables on the anima, where before he was always in awe of her. And she's beginning to listen and realize that she carries a treasure, but she also needs to be limited. And that took us up to 3:45. They're at bracketed number 6 in the second column. And having reached that integration, he says, or she says, excuse me, that it's time to form your thoughts in matter. That's right there at number 6. And the immediate result of that is the 7 sermons of the dead, which we may not really even get to till the fall. I'm not sure. We might get started today. Which, that's just a name given to a couple of pages in the Red Book. Why it's so important, he says, these pages contain the seeds of all my future ideas. So we'll be looking at it in that way. It's difficult stuff.
So thoughts into matter is actually taking the gems from the anima and getting them out into life. Is that?
The way he puts it is that writing those paragraphs was putting her into matter. But I think it's got a wider meaning, that he will put his work into the real physical world.
So that energy, I mean, we have Jung's, all of his volumes, and we could read those as just a head experience, but if we live it,
yeah,
if we experience that transformation ourselves, then that is a continuation of his work being into the world.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. And I would say that those 20 volumes are the thoughts into matter, and then living it himself. Yeah.
And it doesn't just stop with him, though. It continues.
It carries on.
It carries on.
Yeah. Now, so then we get footnote 72, which leads us back to page 370, I think. So that's where we then got to the back of the thing. So we'll go through 370 and then 364, and then we'll go back to where we made the detour. Because what this does is begin to set the stage for 7 sermons of the dead. So we're just about to get to the 7 sermons, and the editor points us to material which sets the stage for that. Appendix C is from the Black Book, but he included it because it talks about the background of the 7 sermons, and one of the key images is Abraxas, and that's covered to Santana's eye. Then we were talking about Abraxas last time, and we ran out of time. So we'll pick up with Abraxas. And then I think we should get through these 2 pages okay. Then we'll go to 364, where he has a mandala in which Abraxas plays a role. And that's probably all we'll get done today. And then we'll start with 7 sermons, probably not till the fall. But Abraxas plays a bigger role in the sermons than he does here. We'll see that. But just to get an idea what is going on. So, Jane, you want to take over? I think we said we'd start at, I wrote it down somewhere. Your photocopy material. Everyone have a copy of it? Oh, bring your pencil and your eraser to class. I just happen to have made some. And actually, I ended up printing it on the backside of something, not even realizing it. So, and Carl and Linda, did you get the dates for the fall?
Not much, just simple.
No, I sent them a while ago. I just happen to have made a copy. Okay. Let's just do that now. So everyone's
got
them. I just put the names on, so you can't say, oh, you didn't give it to me.
Keep us honest.
Huh? Keep us honest. Keep you honest. Where's my sheet? Jane, I thought we said we would go back a little bit.
Page 812.
Yeah, would you pick up with that, please?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all yours.
Could we move that down a little bit? Because I noticed on the recording that I can't.
Oh.
Yeah.
As well.
Do you have those images?
Yeah. You want to get rid of this?
Oh, thanks.
You'll need to back up about five slides, Jane, to get
there.
Yeah, back up a couple.
Wow.
What's this from?
This is from this vision seminar that Gary gave a couple of years ago, I think. You did it for us. There's two volumes of this, and what I have on this on these sheets, it's all, I don't have quotes on each sentence, but it's all from Jung's discussion in the seminar and what he says about Abraxas. But when we started out with this image, she paints most of her visions that they talk about, but some of them that she doesn't. But this is the first one that started the ball rolling with the Abraxas idea. And it was a vision. Oh, well, yeah, it's a little bit bright on the top. It is. It's a. If I can show you on, it might help if you could see it, Carol. Here,
you can see a face up at the top and two arms.
I see the figure.
Yeah, the figure. And actually, what she had a vision about a child being having a child born.
She had a child, she was pregnant, she had a child that it was not, it turned out not to be a physical child, but more of a spiritual child. But there's two arms, and it's holding up a flame, a bow.
What page is that image on?
It's a plate 33, where it's, and she actually did paint this, and this is in the middle of the book with all the other visions. They put them all together and grouped them. So this is number 33. And she has it, again, I approached the precipice and looked down into the valley of factories. So there's factories down here, and there's the head and the arms here. And her vision was, on this, was page 803 and 4. She said, I saw a figure in the sky being surrounded by a great light. In his upraised arms, he held a flaming bow. Stars fell from his head. He covers everything, a sort of a layer all over the world like an inundation. His lower body was a snake, which reached down into the seething earth. So that's kind of the first phase of this Abraxas figure, the snake at the bottom, another type of, in this case, human at the top. So that's where the ball gets started rolling here. And that's what led to these comments that Jung made on the handouts about her vision. And they got into the fact that, you know, Abraxas was made up by the Gnostics. It means both creativity and time, and that it the letters somehow add up to 365. And they didn't show us or explain to us how they did, but they do. So that was kind of takes us down to page 812. And I should mention, too, after we get done with this one, there's another vision that I didn't mention last time, but it kind of helps with the flow of the images, I think, too. So, Kathleen, you want to read that page 812 comments for us?
So if our patient should succeed in merging with that vision, she would become a black. She would become a human wonder, woman above, serpent below, a monstrous thing. Then the light would not be light, nor the snake properly the snake. There would be terrible confusion. If anyone reaches this state, it is usually something like madness. But when the pairs of opposites are too close together, people lose their orientation and don't know whether they are not upside down. They suffer from a complete loss of values and have no idea what is the matter.
So, and I think we just made the comment on after this that it would be like an archetype where the union of the opposites are together, mm-hmm. and if a person got too close to that, they would be almost identified with the archetype, and therefore he's saying it's like a madness. Then,
could we say that's what happened with Nietzsche then? Something very similar to that?
Sorry,
Jane.
So in Abraxas in general,
did
we say that the opposites are
quite close together? Yeah. Let's see. They're all in this one image that we'll look at.
Yeah, just remember that painting, how it was a conglomeration. Mm-hmm.
After this, in between page 812 and page 830, she gave birth to this child. There's several different visions in between. But on page 828, she talks about having this child has four eyes bulging. His hands are clubs and his feet are claws. I wanted to mention that because that's, you know, really kind of a prelude to the Abraxas image. With the claws and the clubs and the eyes looking everywhere. And
it's kind of like the beer cruiser images as well.
Mm-hmm. And
the
animal. The
animal with the claw hand and four eyes. And
yeah, that's a good point, too. Okay, Sandy, would you mind reading page 830?
Okay. The birth shows that thought can be a most aggressive and dangerous thing, such as was suggested by the Abraxas vision before. Now, if you look back into history and ask yourself why such a figure as Abraxas is always represented with a whip or sword or shield, you find that the god is really warlike. His weapons are like the sign of power. He can use his whip on you. Jesus said in the temple, I have not come to bring you peace, but a sword.
Yeah, a lie in there. And we'll see with the Abraxas. I lost the Abraxas one you did, Gary.
Yeah, keep going backwards.
Oh, there it is. There's all kinds of weapons in his hands. and he doesn't look like he's a peaceful sort of guy.
Yeah, like
So conflict, I mean, I'm sure implies conflict in our lives teaches a lot. And that the God is here to bring us conflict.
War.
Okay. Right before this next section then, it skips a lot of pages. Page 1039 is the next one. Right before that, she had the vision of heat went through her. A sign or a mark was on the sole of her foot, and it was a Chinese dragon twined upon a cross, and above the cross, the head of a lion. She didn't draw this one, so I went to the internet to try to see if I could find something that looked somewhat like it, and I saw it on a piece of jewelry, at least in two different pieces of jewelry. This is the one with the dragon and twined around a cross. And then this has the lion head, which is kind of hard to see, but he's facing a little bit sideways. Mm-hmm. So that's the vision that precedes this comment that Ian's making. Barbara.
No sooner do you go beyond history or tradition, and you are permeated by that fierce energy of the animal. Now, can you imagine what happens when you go beyond history, when something new begins?
Here we're getting into the creative person and the criminal aspects of that. Barb, do you want to go ahead, because it's the next page, it's 1040. Just read that one paragraph.
Okay. The historical condition is a part of building erected for the purpose of pacifying the disturbing forces so that you can direct yourself, help your life along. But beyond, you get immediately into the turmoil. You get out of the most human condition into a primordial condition where nothing has been shaped or domesticated. And naturally, you experience the whole shock of the limitless blindness of the great urge to live, which is identical with the sun. Our life springs from the sun, so that is forever the symbol of the urge to live.
Thanks, Linda.
So,
Come on. In
that condition, there is no thou shalt. There are simply many ways, a thousand ways perhaps, or no way at all. It is a perfectly new experiment, and you don't know where to begin. Also, it is the most simple state, because the historical condition is always holy. It is sacred, taboo. Many generations have believed in it, and whoever tries to destroy it is considered a criminal. So you are akin to the criminal. You are, in a way, destroying what the ages have built up. So this mark, which our patient bears, is like the mark of a criminal, an innovator, one who commits the crime of being unhistorical.
So this mark on her foot with the cross and the dragon and the lion is this mark of an innovator. And Jung referred to the classic Prometheus sin, taking power from the gods and making fire for available to men.
Did she become
an I think she did in some ways. I don't know if she reached her potential, but I think she did in some ways. She was at Harvard, wasn't she? Kind of an analyst,
yeah,
of sorts.
Yeah, with Harry Murray.
A lot
of work, but she'd been there, and she kind of had to go on the rest of the world.
Was the
internet?
I think that's the time
she was working
really
for me. Well, I think she was the
guiding
light behind the
somatic apperception
test, right?
That's
what it was, which is really very
very visual, very creative, very imaginative, kind of psychological device.
What's it called again?
The thematic apperception test, I think. TAT.
Is it the same as the ink
No.
No.
She actually drew kind of generalized pictures. I'll say of a man and a woman in a room, and you know, one of them seems to be doing something, but you're not quite sure what, and the other seems to be looking in a different way, and you know, things that you can kind of hook on and kind of do what you would do with a Rorschach, but you're already dealing with a kind of a human situation.
Predictable situation.
And so the patient was asked to just comment, what's going on here? And whatever was in their psyches was likely to come out, you know. You know they've been fighting or whatever.
I never heard of that. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure it's used as much as it used to be, but it was really... for a long while considered a very effective test.
I think they do something similar with children now. You know, that's a good way to get children to express what's going on inside of them.
Yeah, so much fashionable as talk therapy, so much fashionable. And they want to sort of computerize data with something like the MSPI or something that can be plugged into databases. Whereas that's more popular now, but what that required was somebody taking notes of a narrative. There was a story that would emerge, narrated by the patient, and that, of course, takes some man hours and creative energy on the part of the therapist.
Of course, whenever you could create, you set yourself up for having projections. You know, drawn onto you or pulled onto you. And so the criminal aspect of this, I think he's trying to relate it to if we do create a new God image, you know, people will be in horror of what, just look at what the Gnostics did, and people, of course, shrunk away from that. So anything new, anything innovative, is going to be critiqued, and lots of projections will probably be drawn to it. So that's the whole theme there of why that mark was on her foot. And
mm-hmm. Does that mean to talk about a criminal too?
Same way, I think.
The same kind of situation.
Yeah. Well,
pale criminal.
He, just like Jane was saying, that, and Gil was quoting, real creative people are criminals, in the eyes of the collective.
Yeah, but those criminals didn't probably embrace the criminality.
Yeah, and that criminals are too cowardly to be a true criminal, which is to fight what's false in the collective. Pale criminals. Well, what we call criminals, he would call the pale criminal. It's easy to go out and shoot somebody, but to work your whole life to overturn a value, that's the meaning of criminality, and that takes integrity, discipline, courage, and so on.
So could we say a Braxis is an energy that allows you to fight that battle in a way? Or are we looking at a Braxis as a negative?
No.
Okay.
I just to anticipate, I think, see what's, I don't know if you picked it up on the album, this incredible mixture of everything. And where our God is either a God of law or a God of love, you could say Abraxas is a God of everything. He contains the whole pantheon. So it just breaks open the question, who is God? God is much bigger than law. God's much bigger than love. God's there. God contains everything. And that's good and bad.
In one of the crypts that we visited, they
I printed off pictures, but you can't see it very well. It was called The Crypt of the Original Sin. But they show God creating good and evil, both good and evil. And God has kind of a two-phase. So I've got a little picture of God creating good, which was feminine, which was a shock. And then here is the image. So I'll pass it around. I thought that was kind of pertinent, that God has... What in the Christian religion we think of God only creating good, but here, 9th century, you know, frescoes are showing God creating both.
Which one has the evil in it? Could you point to that?
Evil is here. It's very difficult to see, and I couldn't get. I got on their website, but I didn't see any images there.
So you want you to take a picture?
Yeah, you can take pictures in there because. The damage that it can do to the angel, like the rest of
the
They're in a crypt outside of, I think we were in the Silicata, outside of Matera.
So the neighbors were Christians?
They were probably monks, they think. It wasn't all the same artist.
The angel figure is good. The funeral.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's interesting that the snake, the first one we saw, you know, it does kind of imply a plant, like, and they talked about a tree as well. She's growing her own yogi tree and trying to go from Manipur to Anahata, but. Jung had talked about all those layers of the different layers of the self, plant, animal, and it's just, I guess that's another way of saying it's a lot of everything together, that we're plant, we're not only earth, rock, soil, plants, animals, human, and then divine, and that there's a big mixture of that in these images, and I think that's another way of looking at it. Although these snakes' legs don't seem to go down to earth. That's a little different.
Heads out at the end?
I'm sorry?
Are there heads at the end of these snakes?
Well, it kind of looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure, your snakes are there.
It's almost like they have ears.
Mm-hmm. Or like it's some sort of lizard.
Mm-hmm.
I printed some off too, and I'll pass them around.
I have to look at them in the next time.
Well,
Yeah. I'll look at them.
There.
Well, anyway,
I look at Abraxas as everything.
Right. Okay, so everything springs from it.
That's the way it's going to be when we get to the seven
children. And is there anything that requires
Yeah, it's just a big mess. Think of Abraxas as a big mess. Yes, for starters. It's very hard to put your mind around. And we won't really be able to appreciate it until we get to the seventh service. But I think what James doing is giving us a good background.
I'm just trying to make sense of it.
Yeah, it's hard to make sense of Rashi.
It feels like they're going back before anybody came up with a conception of God.
Yeah, they are.
But what I think is interesting, we'll talk about this more about probably, but is that it ends up the flow of the images with her anyway started here, then with the dragon and the lion. And then, sorry to go back to there we have Ion. The snake is wrapped around. Now it looks like more of a human figure with a lion's head, and then the snake entwined. So the cross, the tree, becomes our body, and the snake is still entwined around it, and there's still an animal head. So there's just a few more of Jung's comments, Gary, and then we'll be done. Page 1041. Ready. Anne.
Yes, there is a significant Gnostic symbol where the lion's head is on top and the snake underneath. It's the sign of the Demiurgos, also called Io or Abraxas. That last name indicates the number principle of the Demiurgos, the sum of the days of the year. It symbolizes the identity of creative energy with time. Abraxas is usually represented with the head of a fowl, the body of a man, and the tail of a serpent, but there is also a lion-headed symbol with a dragon's body. The head crowned with the 12 rays, alluding to the number of months. The words dragon and serpent were used interchangeably in the old text. Since the English word dragon comes from the Greek drakon, meaning serpent. Keep going.
And then Carl, thank you. Carl, if you do the next one.
In the cult of Mithra, we have a similar figure of the deus Leontocephalus, a lion-headed god. He has a human body with a lion's head, and a snake enclosed his body, and puts its head on top of the lion's head. This god is called Ion, meaning a long duration of time, an eon.
And there's the image. So Jung is taking us along towards Ion. I mean, through all these images she's had, he's ending up with this. And the last paragraph, would you do that, Carol, please?
All this early symbolism, which I do not exhaust by thought, occurs in a symbol in our fantasy. We have again a deus Leontocephalus. A god not with a human mind, but with an animal's mind, not conforming to our spiritual expectations, but to our worst fears. That is, if anybody should be permeated by that the least wave of heat, he would feel that absolute blindness, that lack of direction, that chaotic lack of form and definition. He would present a picture which can only be paralleled by the mental picture of the world today. We have lost our direction completely. We are not sure of anything. There's only a blind urge as to what we do not know. So this symbol not only fits one particular case, but the symbol for our time as well.
So that Latin means lion-headed, right, Gary? Leon.
Yeah, yes.
And he's in here.
God.
He says the
Deus is God.
God. Yes. And he's referring in here the released wave of heat back to her vision, where she felt a wave of heat going all the way through her body, and she saw the mark on her sign on her soul over her foot.
Is there something that can be experienced individually and then collectively too, as well, when you're in a time of, like they are now in this time of the shifting of the God image, but for the individual going through the individuation process, do they get to this point of Abraxas?
Hopefully not in its raw form.
But in a transform.
I think in its raw form it would be insanity.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, but you could say what they would. You would possibly get it in an individual form, like the outbreak of the World Wars was Botan coming back, but you can get the small dose of that energy in an individualized form, which hopefully doesn't get contaminated with the big form like it did with Adolf Hitler, but you get that small unrealistic anger that you have to work through, or you get a small, would that be mm-hmm. true? A small, you feel disoriented. You're still able to work or whatever, but you feel very disoriented, which is what would bring people into analysis.
So, say for Beer from Zurich, he had a small form of that, his individual.
Yeah.
Right, desire.
His being assaulted by the desire. You could say it was being assaulted by
the desire. And the same as Christiana Morgan. Yeah. Her assault of the desire.
Yeah.
Murray was probably a stronger form than most people would get.
Would you think, compare her and Richard Zurich, she apparently, I mean, she was promiscuous. I don't think he was promiscuous.
He just felt he contained
it. He contained it, but she, remember what somebody said, and I forget, it's in the biography, but like when she had a couple of lovers back in Boston, and she would talk, she'd have problems with one lover, and she'd go to the other lover and ask how she should cope with it, and never, I don't think, and then she had all those weird S&M parties in her tower.
Yeah, and with him, too.
And with him.
Yeah.
See, that's more Abraxas, that just desire just breaks out in a helter-skelter fashion. And so what? You know, I mean, when it's over, what do you have? What did she have? Nothing. Where he was assaulted by probably very similar feelings, but he had something at the end of it.
He also had a support system that she did not have. He had
his
wife, his family.
But she could have had a support system.
She could have.
Yeah.
She could have lived with young men.
Yeah.
She chose the lust.
She identified with the practice.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to grasp, I guess, because you... But if you think, like, say in Greece, we say, oh, Zeus is the god of law and power. Hera, the god of marriage and conjugal love. Mercury is the messenger. Hestia is the hearth. Hermes is the trickster. But Abraxas is all of those before each one is separated out. So if you fall into it, you fall into just going with desire, no matter what, whether that makes sense or not.
He had a nice protection, that protective layer of the artwork that helped him separate out from all his emotions and his images that were coming after.
He spent what? 30 years working on himself. Christiana won. And she wasn't even telling all her dreams.
Really, she only worked with Jung for 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
Was she in Zurich then?
She was in Zurich for a year.
And then there were letters back and forth, right?
I believe there were.
And Murray at this point had gone back to Boston, and she there too?
He basically was based in Boston, and he visited Zurich. I don't believe he lived in Zurich for any time, if I remember.
Well, it's an assault, no matter what.
It's an assault.
Yeah. It's how we choose to deal with it.
And you know, that fact you referred to, 365, would be like the whole year, it could be an assault by just anything. And it will be one of the themes of the seven sermons, representing Jung being assaulted by tons of varying emotions. And then out of that, constructing a new image of God. It's like the giving up the existing image of God, falling into just the fact that just anything is possible, and then coming out with a new image of God. Do you remember seeing Chinatown, the movie? I don't know if you remember at the end of the movie,
The John, is it John Ford character? Character played by John Ford, who fathered that girl, which is pretty, if you haven't seen it, I won't ruin it for you. But he says to the Nick, who played the detective, to the Nicholson character, Mr. Gittes, few people ever really realize that under the right circumstances and in the right time, they are capable of doing just anything. See, that's just raw instinct, no morality. Probably war with rape and pillage and just the brutal human animal coming out without any censorship. That's a Abraxas.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to people starting a war, they say, "Well, they do things that they never thought they would have done."
Yeah. Now, another guy said exactly the same thing. And enjoyed it, they will say.
And never felt more alive.
Of course, now they're feeling terrible. But I think the thing you mentioned, Jane, which is so important.
Can I turn the mic on?
Yes, thanks. Not conforming to our spiritual expectations, but to our worst fears. That's the bottom of page 2. Third line. The last paragraph. And paralleled by the mental picture of the world today, meaning World War II. And Jane, I wanted to ask you, I've forgotten some of the details, but when she has the vision of that monstrous child. Does he make reference to the Nazis at that point? Do you remember?
Somewhere. I mean, this covers so many.
Yeah.
It started in 1940. Here's the vision, and it had four bulging eyes from its head. So it is no lovely sight. It is a monster. Its hands were clubbed, its feet were claws. It's a very monstrous child, really. It cannot be anything normal because the placenta was not a normal human body. It is a symbolic body that soon disappears because the life of the afterbirth child is not meant to be an ordinary life, but a sort of breath body that lives on.
There was something weird about the placenta, I remember. That it was a white placenta that disappeared after.
I don't see a Nazi reference, but I think somewhere along the way.
In this context, I believe it came up, didn't it?
Because he says it's a very warlike creature.
Yeah.
And then it refers to what's going on in the collective today. It's a symbol for our time as well.
Yeah, that's got to be a reference to the war.
And probably World War I at the time.
No, this would be 2.
This would be 2, yeah.
Well, preparing for 2. Yeah, I think I've said it before, but it might bear repeating that if you read Christian theology about the war, the approach is, well, you see, that's what happens when you don't live the Christian message. And Jung's point of view is, no, that's what happens when you do live the Christian message. And the reason that's relevant here is all of the things that Abraxas contains are elements of human experience that religion have considered sacred. Not us, but other religions have considered them sacred. And when you consider something sacred, then you have a mechanism for monitoring it and controlling it, but since we don't include these elements in our image of God, all that does is give them free license to do whatever they want. So that the Abraxas energies breaking out in World War I or World War II did so because they're not symbolizing Christianity. That's why Abraxas is so important here.
The Gnostics were trying to birth this as a God image.
Well, that's a problem. That's a problem itself. I think you could say the Gnostics are actually no better than the Christians in the way they lived. But what meant so much to Jung was in their symbol, in their symbolic system, there was room for these experiences, which there wasn't room for in the Christian symbolic system. But basically, I think the way the Gnostics tried to deal with this stuff is the same Christian split. But at least in their metaphysics, they made room for these elements.
Okay, the reason I was wondering about that is because, you know, in their symbolism, they have the feminine. But But you know, if you look at the king, the mysterious conjunction, the king and the queen, and they're joining. So the thing that they had the sun and they had the rose and they had the retort and they had feminine images, but if this was their God image they were trying to birth, it doesn't have a feminine side. I don't know. I may be missing it.
No. Well, I think that's of course just one portrait, and
yeah.
I'm just taking what he said, that in the deeper understanding, Abraxas was everything. 365 would mean covering everything, and particularly war and rage.
But could a Dionysian experience, where they tore animals apart, etc., that could be an Abraxas experience?
Well,
in a religious context?
Could be, but...
Where people could touch that and then come back?
That's the difference, though, I think.
Yeah.
This is just my opinion, that, you know, Dionysus just does it for pleasure. You might say, well, that's some kind of pleasure. But still, he's not trying to be the lord of anybody. He just goes crazy down there. But he is out to conquer. That's a big difference.
And because the Christian religion didn't have this symbolism to contain that power of urge, it got all repressed, and so then it just exploded.
Exactly.
But wouldn't this be a rather limited envisioning of Abraxas? If Abraxas is everything...
Yeah, I'm sure it's a very limited...
He would also be the anti-power urge.
He'd
be passivity and laid-backness, too. It's hard to show both of them in one symbol.
I guess I got confused when you said about the opposites are too close together.
Right.
Because, you know, in Jungian psychology, it's about the uniting of the sun and the moon, the opposites coming together. But now, here they're too close together, so the energy of that is too much, but they never unite?
No, they've never been separated to unite.
I see. So they're still in the one.
They're still in the one.
Okay. Unconscious one.
Then. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that would be the state of somebody who might say two contradictory statements in one sentence. You ever hear about people being called hot and cold lovers? One minute they're warm to you, and the next minute they're cold. See, they almost coexist, and there's no recognition. Oh gosh, I'm this way one moment, I'm this way another moment. That's a problem. So Abraxas would be that state where things just happen without recognition.
I see.
And before you can get a synthesis, you have to separate.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
Yeah, you might say in the alchemical language, this would be the massive confuser. This would be folks who do the most outrageously self-destructive things and never connect the dots. They don't realize that what is just happening is contrary to what they really want. You know, if you want to go DSM-5, is it now? Borderline personality disorder. Completely contradictory things said in a very short time.
Because there's no self there, no ego, or self at all there to hold those things
it's
together.
Just one unconscious complex
after
the other. You know, did you follow that? What's her name? Arius? Jodi Arius? Mm-hmm. First she says, I want to die. Oh, no, I don't want to die. One thing, one moment, one thing.
She goes through
this. Yeah, exactly. There you go. That's perfect.
What? She loves him so much, and she stabbed him.
27 times.
27
times. Yeah. So is this related to Zarathustra at all?
I think in a way, although...
Maybe... Zarathustra
represents. Zarathustra is a rather high metaphor or envisioning of controlled power over the opposites in a way. I mean,
but falling victim to them irregardless.
Nietzsche does, but Zarathustra himself, I'm not sure. I haven't read what happened to him. But does he become a victim of his own greatness?
I don't know. I have to really think about that. I kind of forget the story that closely now. Oh. I think you probably could say that, but I couldn't defend the saying that. I think the difference between, you know, Zarathustra and Abraxas, I think at least Zarathustra was trying to bring a better world. He was at least trying, and he ended up kind of a mess himself. But this guy is like way before that. He'd be like Idi Amin.
Now, why do you think Young was trying to take? He was trying to progress the energies to Ion.
To progress them to Ion.
Or I sequence them.
Yeah.
Forward to.
Well, I think to go back to this time when what was sacred wasn't put in such little boxes, and to open up the possibility of owning new dimensions of human experience into the divine. And then to show, you know, it looks like chaos, but it really is more than just chaos. There is something in that starting point that is trying to go somewhere. And we've lost touch with the starting point, so we can't get past goodness or law.
So it holds the theological urge to...
Yes, that would be a good way to put it.
Didn't Jung identify with Aeon as with the snake wrapped around him, as his emotions had captured him, especially his conflict being on the table, and that the instinct had really gotten him.
Absolutely. But remember, then she begins to see. Remember that? Salome. It's at that point that she recovers her sight. So again, what looks like a instinctual, horrendous crucifixion actually is a birthing of sight. I think that's the irony of this Abraxas stuff. It does lead somewhere. Now, it doesn't in EDM in because the guy was just a pig. But when an ego faces this and tries to own up to the value that's there and stay true to its own morality, that's when transformation starts.
And that's what happens in your business work.
Right. Yeah. There was an adult who was paying attention. It's amazing to hear some people, they do the most outrageous things, and you point it out to them, oh well, so what? There's no adult there to take responsibility for it. Did you realize when you called your girlfriend a slut, she might be offended? Well, everybody says that once in a while. No moral reaction. Maybe that's why she left you? Well, she's awful fussy. I mean, that's...
Or deny
that they did it.
That's even easier.
Mm-hmm.
You
made
that up.
Yeah.
Or you made me call you that. Yeah.
Oh, even better, yes. Yeah. That takes skill to pull off. Okay, you got the basic idea. Now, we will be fine-tuning this as we go along. Just to have the starting point is fine. Thanks, Jane, for doing that. Abraxas is to be feared. Now I'm on, maybe we should take a stretch here.